colonialism is bad for your health. See you next week. Uhuru.
Welcome to Solidarity Not Charity, the Uhuru Radio show hosted by the African People's Solidarity Committee. My name's Allison Haney, and I work in the African People's Solidarity Committee in Philadelphia. And we want to thank the African People's Socialist Party and Uhuru News for allowing us to have this hour to speak to the North American community about our role and responsibility in standing in solidarity with the Uhuru movement-led struggle for liberation and self-determination for African people everywhere. We recognize there can be no peace and security on this planet without justice and liberation for African people. Today, we're talking about the brutal conditions of police murder and police containment and poverty and repression against the African community in Philadelphia and the organized resistance of the African community to these conditions under the leadership of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. We're very honored to have our guest speakers with us today who are key organizers in this resistance. Before I bring our speakers on, I wanted to say by way of introduction that the African People's Solidarity Committee works under the leadership of the Black-led Uhuru Movement, and we take a stand from the white community in solidarity with economic and political power, reparations, and liberation for African people everywhere. And we believe that as white people living in a country and society in the U.S. that's been built from hundreds of years of the enslavement of African people and genocide of indigenous people, that we have a profound responsibility to actively support the right of African people to organize for self-determination, that African people have to have control of their own communities and resources, and that as white people living in Philadelphia, that we have to speak out and stand up against the brutal realities that we see every day, the U.S. war and the Nutter administration's war against the African community right here, which is no different than the war that the U.S. is waging against the Iraqi people or the Palestinian people or peoples around the world, that we have to take a stand against the deep poverty and oppression of the African community in Philly, where over 50% of African men are unemployed, where even working families, 40% of working families, live below the poverty level, and where we see a city where the African community has the highest poverty rate and the highest imprisonment rate of anywhere in the U.S. The conditions are terrible for African people in Philadelphia. And we've seen a situation over many, many years with the brutal police murders of African people, where the mayor himself, Wilson Good, in 1985, dropped a bomb on the African community. The most brutal atrocities have been committed against African people in this city. And just this past year, we've seen the Nutter administration launch the crime state of emergency, where they've targeted 9 so-called enforcement zones with more police, 500 more police Nutter promised to bring on, and where the whole stop and frisk practice of intimidation and harassment and detainment of African people has increased. And this year we've seen a green light for the police to go ahead and kill African people with impunity. Most recently we saw the murder of 14-year-old Sharif Jones killed on August 24th and Daniil Giddings killed on September 23rd. And today we're going to be talking with members of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, organizers, the local organizing committee here in Philadelphia, and with Diop Olugbala, who is the international organizer for the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. So I want to welcome our guests on today. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Uhuru, I want to introduce our guests today. We have Secretary Rashida, who is Daniil Giddings' cousin, who is the secretary of the local organizing committee of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement here in Philadelphia. Uhuru.
Uhuru.
And we have Comrade Nanny, who is Daniil Giddings' grandmother, and she is the membership chair of the local organizing committee of NPDOM. And we're also very honored to have with us today Diop Olugbala, who is the international organizer for NPDOM, who, as everybody knows, has built branches of NPDOM throughout Africa, throughout the U.S., and has organized the Sean Bell Reparations Tribunal, amongst many other things. Uhuru, welcome.
Uhuru.
And we really appreciate everybody being on the show today, and we also want to express our condolences to the family of Daniil Giddings for your terrible loss. And I wanted to see if any of you would like to say anything by way of introducing yourselves to our listeners before we proceed with the interview.
Yeah, I think it's a good time for for the African community to get organized because we experienced some sharp attacks from the state, especially in the city of Philadelphia. You know, the statistics that you read off, Ali, and I want to express my appreciation for the comrades of the local organizing committee here. So I know that Comrade Rashida and Comrade Nanny have a lot to say about the conditions in our community, but I just want to really express my appreciation for being able to work with these comrades and to push this work to get justice for our people forward.
Uhuru, yes. I really look forward to hearing from you. And I just want to say, Danil Giddings, for our listeners, was brutally murdered by the police on September 23rd, which is only a few weeks ago. And as always, what we saw in the newspaper was a criminalization of Danil, while the cop who was responsible for his death was hero worshipped and upheld and honored. And I know that NPDOM organized a vigil in memorial of Danil and other victims of police murder just last week. And I wanted to ask all of you to say, if you could tell us about that vigil and the kind of attacks that you've been undergoing in the African community around that vigil and other work.
I'd like to say, too, could I say this to Mr. Nutter, Charles Ramsey, D.A. Lynn Abraham, and Governor Rendell. They call my grandson a monster, a menace to society. Well, I had called Action News. They said 5 days before they took his life, the officer they called Mr. Hero told my daughter he was going to kill my grandson. I called Councilwoman Blackwell office. I called Michael Bowman, a DA. He's a criminal lawyer. I called a McCainan lawyer firm, and they say they wasn't going to do nothing. I went to call them back the money, let them know they murdered my grandson. Okay, to Mr. Nutter, who's called himself running the city, he's going to have to step down. Rendell, you're going to have to step down. Lemahan, you don't ran out. We have to get people in there for the people because the police officer is stopping everyone on the street with guns, telling the grown people to get the F in the house. I'm a senior citizen, and I done had enough. Enough is enough. I have 30 grandchildren and 29 grand, and I have 3 great grand, and I will not take this no longer. So they have to put somebody in there for the people, for all the people. We will not take this mess, Nutter. We will not take this mess, Renda. You is the problem. You is a menace to society. You cause playing with the guys in the prison. You stopping their parole. You make them like they're animals. And you know what they're doing. If it wasn't for them being in jail, they wouldn't have no jobs up there. Then they would be poor. We done had enough of your mess, Rendell. You coming down also. And well, none of your mama just go home. Because I am highly upset. My grandson was a menace inside. He was a young, nice man, came from a good family. And after they shot him, is he supposed to lay on the street for 5 hours? The police officer, they call a hero, they shot him in the back of the head, and his eyeball rolled across the side, and he was still living.
That's right.
He was still living. So he's a murderer. He ain't no hero. And the one life was taken, he must have shot his partner. Because he wasn't all that great, they say. They put him on a pedestal. He was a nasty one, too.
That's right.
So I have the right to defend my grandson, and I'm good and mad, and I'm getting angry. And Nutter and Rendell, we put you in, and Nutter, I never voted for you anyway. And even the one that running for president don't deserve the presidency. We need somebody for all people. We need it right now. We need it for the poor and low class, and what they call us, a bunch of low-life niggas in North Philly. That's what they said. And the tag number's 2316. He said, I'm going to kill your son. You ain't going to see him no more. And he said it 5 days before he took my grandson. Like, now I want to see you face to face, Mr. Hero, living in the Northeast.
Living in the Northeast.
And all you police, I want to see you go to Nutter House. Nutter, you got family, too. All you got family. Well, we all got to live together in Philadelphia. We're trying to get these streets right. Y'all baloney. The policemen just stopping everybody with guns and telling the older people, get the F in the house. We are human beings, and we're taking back over the city. We're taking back over our blocks. We're going through the neighborhood, corroding the young guys and letting them know how to do. We're not going to take this mess no more. We're going to see who's going to come out, because God say, vengeance mine, say the Lord. And y'all going to pay for what y'all did.
And that goes back to what I said at the visual, that if more neighbors come out their house and start speaking up instead of standing in the window saying, "What you know, oh, look at that, oh, look at that," and start speaking up and defending our black people, we would have less black deaths, because they want us dead, and they don't care how they get us, because any time they let a man lay in the street for 5.5 hours and turn medical help away, you know they don't care about us. If they didn't care about him, they're not going to care about them, and this is our time to stand together as one. And this is what a lot of people don't understand. Everybody want to talk about it. Now it's time to be about it.
Yeah.
It's really time to be about it, because we lost a loved one. We didn't, it's a shame. He was so young, and we shouldn't have lost him like this. You understand? We should not have lost him like this. And the police supposed to have been put out there to protect us, but instead they want us to be scared of them, and you can't even call them for help no more. So what is that telling you? What is that telling you about the people in office? They're not doing their job. They need to step down.
Uh-huh.
They coming down.
That is powerful.
It's just a sad thing.
Yes.
It's a sad thing. They let him lay there. I mean, the ambulance was there. His family was there. They lied. They told the family it was not him. The whole time it was him. You understand? For 5.5 hours, my aunt stood on that corner, and they told her it was not him.
And you know,
and now our family is being harassed by the Philadelphia Police Department.
Yeah.
Now he's gone, and we're still being harassed. We couldn't even hold our peace without them hovering helicopters over top of our head, police driving around the block, undercovers, standing on a corner. For what? We wasn't there to cause no violence. We was there to mourn our loved ones, which we had not had a chance to do because they keep blasting him on the news, making him sound so bad, and he was nothing like that. He got children out here. He was a father. He was my cousin. You understand what I'm saying? He's somebody's son.
Right.
He wasn't like they saying he was.
That's so important for people to hear.
And from what we understand, the coroner said he had 14 shots in him, and four of them shots came from that other officer, that police officer McDonald that's dead. So who shot and killed him? Because four of those shots came from that other cop. Then they need to tell that. Now, if they going to tell it, tell them to tell that. Tell them to tell where them other four shots came from.
Yeah.
Yeah, they going to speak it. Tell them to speak it right. And the newspaper only print what the police tell them to print, and that's what I done figured out. They interviewed our family like they were going to tell our story. They still told the police story.
That's
they
why it's so
important.
They still
told the police story.
Yes.
And I'm outraged, because on my block alone 2 days ago, the police pulled the man out, took him out his car, and beat him up for nothing. And when we, the neighbors, came out there, they was looking stupid. They was demonstrating how they beat the man. It was ridiculous for nothing.
Well, we really appreciate you telling us the story, because, we don't ever hear the truth, you know, except from when the African community speaks themselves. You don't hear any of this.
This is why we have to come outside our house with our camera phones, our cameras, record them the dirt they doing.
Right.
Record the dirt they doing, because they getting away with too much.
Absolutely. And Diop, do you want to add anything into that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what we're hearing says it all. And it says that we can't possibly get any solutions through the same ones that are committing the crimes. And, you know, from Lynn Abraham to Governor all the way down to Officer McDonald, these same people who supposedly are there to uphold the law and the media that's supposed to tell the truth, we all see them participating in the cover-up and the attack on our community. And I think that, you know, it's clear who the real criminal is, and, you know, what Donnell was doing the night he was murdered really isn't even the issue at this point. The real issue is the fact that nothing has been said about the crimes that are being committed against the African community in North Philly, anywhere else in the city, by the media or even within the court system that exists. And Lynn Abraham has brought police up on charges for murdering Africans. And, you know, this all needs to be explored. And I appreciate this discussion. And I think that it's going to take the African community getting organized and also honest white people as well to hold their government accountable to these crimes that are being committed and to look at themselves and how the conditions in the white community connect with the poverty in the African community and the police containment of the African community. You know, I think Comrade Nanny said he comes from the Northeast, the white community.
Right.
We had a relationship with the state, with the police. You don't find this kind of thing happening in the white community, but you find it every day. It's an everyday occurrence in the African communities, and we fed up, and we're getting organized. That's the critical thing. Right now, we are getting organized, building the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. We're building a tribunal on December 6th to let everybody testify against the state and to expose who the real criminal is.
Uhuru, that's really important, and we're going to be talking more about that, too, in a moment. Right now, I really appreciate what everybody said, and I want to give our listeners a chance to hear some of the clip from the powerful vigil that just took place that NPDOM organized and the family of Danil Giddings participated in and spoke out right here in North Philly this past week. So we're going to play a short clip and then get back to our speakers.
Let me hear y'all say no one more black life. Say justice for Danil. So right now, we got sister Sarita. We got Comrade Nanny, we got Rashida that's going to be coming around. She's going to say some words, but we're going to make an announcement as to how you can get organized with. We don't want to leave this vigil without saying how we're going to build organization. Y'all with that? Say Black Power. Say Uhuru. That's African freedom. That's black freedom right there. It ain't no white man freedom, it's all freedom. It's freedom for all this. These practices are going to put our community shooting the shot like animals. That's what freedom looks like to us. When we control everything and we have power on our own hands. So right now, Sister Rashida, I'm going to let y'all know how you can join the movement, how you can get organized with it.
Going around with the pen and paper that we're all standing out here for justice for Danil and everybody else that somebody might have lost out here. Because it's not just our family that lost somebody. I know that. And, I don't want us to be them type of people that talk about something and don't do nothing about it, because that's the problem amongst our black community. We talk about it. We sit in our windows. We watch, but we don't do nothing. Because if we stand together as a community, Daniel would have still been here today saying that's white and Uhuru and all that. Do you really mean it? Do you really want justice for your black brother, your father, your son that got killed? You need to know. You need to know. This is not no joke. We lost her cousin. She lost her son. He will not come back. You understand? So you need to know right now, this is not a game. If you want justice and you want to stand for something, then mean something. Because guess what? This ain't going to be the last one. Believe that. This is not the last one.
They can go up to love one. And I'm here to say, God, one more black life.
Uhuru, that was really incredible clip from the audio clip of a powerful vigil that the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement and Danil Giddings' family and friends held, and the whole community obviously came out to. It was really militant and strong. And, you know, I just want to unite with what's being said, that this has to stop. I mean, it's so clear that the African community is organizing, is not going to take this kind of terror anymore against your families and your community. And I unite with what Diop said, that in the white community, we have to get organized ourselves under the leadership of the black movement and the black community to say we're not going to take this anymore in our name either. It's outrageous, the kind of attacks that are going on. I'd just like to see if people could add in to what I could hear the police helicopters above. Above the vigil. So they're trying to, like you said, still intimidate the family and the community from getting organized and from what is your right?
They didn't intimidate us. They didn't intimidate us because we stood strong.
Yeah.
We stood strong, and that's what a lot of people have to do, because when you stand strong, can't nothing break you down. And they tried, and we still held our visual. We still stayed out there, and we did not leave.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you could hear how terrified the police are from this, you know, from the organizing that's going on and the resistance, because we work at the Uhuru Solidarity Center over in West Philly, and on our machine, we got all kinds of vicious and vile, you know, hostile intimidation kind of messages against the movement for organizing that vigil. You could tell it was all from the police, you know, from them. They were all sitting around calling and threatening, but, you know, they are cowards and criminals.
And that's what they are, cowards.
That's what they are.
They're cowards behind a badge and a gun.
That's right.
That's right.
Another
cause all this here, so he need to step down. We don't need him and people like him in the city of Philadelphia running nothing. He can't even run his household. Another Lim Abraham, I am making sure that the people will get out there. They have to come out of office. We don't need people like that serving for us. We need somebody to help all the people, like I said.
Right.
And I have to go corner to corner, block to block. I'm telling them to take back their corner, take back their community.
That's it.
You're not animal.
And that's God what real leadership.
All in his black.
Yes.
And that's what real leadership for the community must look like. It has to be led by the African working class. Because Michael Nutter, I mean, what's really the difference between Michael Nutter, John Street, Wilson Good, and every other Negro before? That is individuals, but they represent a class. They represent the African middle class, and they have an entirely different set of interests than the community in North Philly and West Philly and the African working class as a whole. And so we call it for power to the African working class community, so we can see, you know, police that represent our interests, so we can see schools that represent our interests, and the courts would go and lock up and sentence the real criminals who are in City Hall right now. That's what our responsibility is right now, to condemn the whole class, from Michael Nutter all the way to Barack Obama and every other African middle class who's working with white power.
That's right.
That's right.
I mean, because you can see Michael Nutter was voted into power because he proclaimed that he was going to lock up more Africans. That's exactly what he was saying. I'm going to enforce stop and frisk. I'm going to put more people in jail. We're going to stop the violence. But when the government and the city talks about the violence, they don't talk about, they don't mean the violence that they are imposing on the African community through the poverty, through the police terror, you know, through the horrendous school system, anti-African school system. So can you tell us, Rashida and Comrade Nanny, and Dia, more about the conditions? Because in the white community, we are so used to the African community being labeled the criminals. In fact, the whole neighborhood, I believe, that Danil Giddings was from is called the Badlands. You know, this is neighborhoods in Philadelphia that have been abandoned, where there is no economy. Go ahead.
What the police officer did here, they came to my daughter's house, and I kicked the door in, took my baby grandson, which is Daniel Geddon's baby brother, threw him across the bed in front of his mother, was choking him, and told her, nigga, you better not move. Had her husband, which is my son-in-law, in the front room with a gun to his head, say, you better not move. And my number is 2318. My number is 2316. Top of my car is H-37, Highway Trooper was in here. And when we get your son, we're going to kill him. That's what they say 5 days before they did it. They say, you low-class niggas, this is the ghetto. Y'all think y'all really live it. My daughter go every day and work and secure work and take care of rich people.
Yes, she do.
And her husband go out every day and work. Why would they say, you low-life niggas living in the ghetto? But the Mr. Hero, he was the main one. He said he was going to do it, and he killed my grandson.
Can you tell our listeners why?
I called Action News and left my name 5 days before it happened. They're going to send an investigation. They never sent nobody. They forgot me calling them 5 days before it happened. I called City Councilwoman Alucia Blackwell's office.
Mm-hmm.
I called Jolman Bowman, a criminal lawyer. My grandson even called him, said he's getting money so he can turn himself in. I called McCain in office. They'll back me up. 5 days, I told them what happened. And Officer 2316 and the one who killed him said he's going to do it. They already have set to murder my grandson anyway. Yeah. And Nutter and Rendell, he is going to pay. He's going to have to step down. That's we right. put him in, we're going to get him out. We, like I said, we need somebody for all the people. We all have to live together as one. God created all of us equal. We no different than nobody else. We like to live. We like to have fun. We like to work as well as anybody else, high class, low class. We are God's sons and daughters. Nobody has the right to lay on the ground and bleed to death, and then the cop's going to come up there and shoot him in the head while they done shot him down like a dog. And God still let him live. And the woman talked to my grandson until he took his last breath.
It's absolutely outrageous.
So to Mr. Nutter and Mr. Rendell and Lyndon Abraham, you are a menace to society, and you got family too. And what goes around comes around, because what you sow, you shall reap. And
that's what I wanted to speak on, because
Charles Ramsey, he need to go back where he come from, because he need to go back to Washington.
And I wanted to speak on, because they label, like you said, our communities as bad lands and such, mm-hmm. but where are we getting these labels from? We're getting these labels from Mayor Nutter and Lynn Abraham, but why? Because we, like she said, we are people, like they are people, but we live the way we live because this is the way they make us live. You understand what I'm saying? These yes. men out here are carrying guns because they are in fear for their life from the police, because now a pullover is not a pullover. You get pulled over by a cop today, you got to think to yourself, am I making it home tonight?
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? And this is how the black community is thinking and living right now. You understand?
Right. Yes.
They are living in fear of their life. And they talk about these are the bad lands and it looks this way. But what are they doing about it other than killing us to make it different? Because if they come out them offices and walk the streets of North Philadelphia and fix something up around there in West Philadelphia and Southwest, then we wouldn't be the bad lands and it wouldn't look bad. But they yes. take that money and they fix their own houses up,
that's
make
right.
sure their own family got what they need and do what they want to do, because you understand what I'm saying? I'm a single mother. I'm a single mother out here struggling to take care of my three kids, and I'm not running the streets, and I'm not no criminal. And Daniel Getty's mother, she wasn't no criminal, nor was his father. You understand what I'm saying? His mother and father go to work every day to take care of their children. So they didn't say that on the news. You understand? They say what they want to say. They need to start speaking the truth. Yes, his mother worked. She didn't steal, she worked. They own their home. You understand what I'm saying? They worked to get where they got. You understand? Just because they don't live in this big old mansion and all that don't mean they don't have nothing.
That's right.
And unlike
the truth about the prison thing. My grandson went to defend a young guy who was getting raped in the institution, and he was fighting. That's why he got transferred to a different institution, because he wasn't going for that. He don't believe in somebody taking somebody's manhood. So they cover a lot of stuff, try to make him look like a monster. They do that because they know they murder him.
That's right. That's right. They give these men out here some jobs. They won't have to worry about them standing on the corner. Stop turning them away. Yeah. Open up the door. Stop shutting it on them.
That's
giving
right.
all the money for a police burial. They didn't yeah. all want to get out.
How much money they spent on that cop burial? How
yes.
much money?
Yes.
Mm. How much money? Because guess what? That Latino lady, they ain't put her on the news till that white man died.
And took yeah, she was a cop too. On it, then they start bringing up her comp. Then they start talking about the Spanish woman. My grandma said, what about the Spanish cop that got shot? What y'all gonna do for her? She talked to Channel 10 News. Channel 10 News took her down and told somebody, and they start collecting for her. It wasn't for that, they wouldn't be collecting nothing for the Spanish woman. Well, I have Spanish in my family. I have Koreans in my family. I have Vietnamese children in my family. I have Trinidad people in my family. So all of my grand and great-grand is a bunch of animal. Mr. Nutter, Mr. Rendell, you're going to pay. You're going to have to come down from your seat, because I'm going to see so.
And they need to come down, because what about them down there tearing down all these people's houses to build houses for these college kids.
Right.
They've taken our homes away from us so that these white college kids can have a place to go, making it so we can't walk in our own community because they want all these white college kids in. And is that fair to us? They, you know, they're trying to move us out, so where we go now?
And as far as I go, to collect the money for my daughter family, Dinah again, and mother family. And they could have did a whole lot of things.
That's right. They put they put more money in a white community and taking it out the black community. We going to work like dogs, and they up there living like luxury.
We will get a lawyer, though, because this is not over with. This is not over with.
Uh-huh. That's right. I'm so
not
moved.
Over with. And I want Mr. Nutter and Mr. Governor Ed Randall to know it's not over with, Randall, because I have your cell phone number. You know my cousin. Uh-huh. I hope you're on the air to listen. You know my cousin. It's not over with. You coming down. Uh-huh. Don't let me put your business out on the radio.
That's right.
All I
and
say right now.
Yes. I mean, that's really incredible statement, and I have to totally agree with what you're saying, that it's such a crime that it's the Nutter administration, all they're doing is like John Street's administration did before, is just like you say, take away all the housing from the African community, you know, tear down the communities and promise to rebuild it, and then, like you're saying, just give it to Temple students, to white families coming back into Philly, to I live in West Philly. It's totally gentrified. This whole African community is being displaced, and that's going on. You know,
that's right.
They're tearing
down our houses, and they give them to who they want to give them to.
Whole thing of it is they're trying to wipe out the color, but they just can't do it. We don't die, we multiply.
Yeah.
And we all are, like I say, we all are God's sons and daughters. Who all don't like it is just too bad. We all have to live here, so we might as well live here together in love and unity. And this
and
is what it's all about.
That's right. That's right.
And we have a right to resist.
That's
most
right.
important. We have a right to resist, and because that's the only way that we're going to see our conditions change. You know, we have to be out here to explain, you know, to the world what's really going on. But more than that, we have to build organization. And African people, it needs to be clear that we have a right to resist. And I'm tired of hearing all this discussion about how Donnell was a criminal, a monster, you know, an alleged cop killer and all of this. But nobody, again, nobody is even calling the question whether or not there's a real contradiction between the police and the African community that would, you know, require resistance from the African community. You know, we just heard Sister Rashida talk about what goes on a day-to-day basis in West Philly. On any given day, you can see somebody get pulled out their car, beat down to a pulp by the police. And we're saying, I mean, if the ones that are supposed to uphold the law act like criminals, then we have a responsibility to stop them. You know, but the media is not putting Donnell Forth as somebody who represented the interests of the community, or an African who feared for his life, and not criminalizing the police. But this is what needs to be clear. And we saw the resistance even challenged at the vigil, where we were holding a peaceful vigil calling on the African community to take a stand for real economic development and end to the police containment. And we saw the police, again, acting as the aggressors, flying a helicopter just above our heads, threatening us, having squad cars screech back and forth. You know, and this is the terror that we live in every day. And if you say we don't have a right to resist, if you say that we shouldn't resist, then we say something wrong with you. You standing on the wrong side of justice if you say that you don't have a right to resist in any form. Resistance is correct in any of its forms.
That's right. I unite with
right.
that.
They're trying to take away our rights with the stop and frisk. Because,
yes.
You know, we have rights as people, as any people, you understand? And they're taking away our rights with the stop and frisk. Because my son is 11, and I had the cops pull up in front of my door with all his little friends and stop and frisk them for sitting on their step.
Mm.
They telling them now that they can't even sit on their own property.
It's a complete situation of martial law. And I just want to say, you know, I understand and we understand in the African People's Solidarity Committee that none of this is happening in the white community. It is a totally different relationship. And, you know, that we have to speak out about it. I'm so glad that it's from the government and from the police against the African community. It's just complete martial law and all-out war. And the African community has the absolute right to resist in any form whatsoever. Maybe at this point, I would like to ask Diop if you could say something about the Reparations Tribunal, Philadelphia Tribunal for Reparations for African Communities.
Yeah, so on December 6th, we're going to be Tribunal for Reparations to African people, where we will be putting the city of Philadelphia on trial for the many crimes that have been committed against the African community, including the murder, or we should say the assassination of Denell Giddings, the murder of Sharif Jones, Brian Jones, and numerous other Africans who have lost their lives at the hands of the state, but also in terms of the gentrification and other forms and other crimes being committed. The tribunal will serve as our own court, where we put the real criminals on charge, which is the state, which is the city of Philadelphia. And we're involved right now in holding weekly pre-tribunal evidence hearings right there in North Philadelphia. If Comrade Nanny, if you could let them know the address where they can come to our weekly meetings.
2268 Lambert Street.
Yeah, and that's every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m., 2268 Lambert Street, North Philly. And so we call on the community to come and put the state on trial. This is the beginning of a new day for and active resistance in the city of Philadelphia. And, you know, nobody's except Michael Nutter. I don't care if you're African, if you're white. If you're on the wrong side of the question, then you need to be implicated. You know, you need to be put on trial and you need to be punished.
Yes, and I just want to also let everybody know that the Community Speak Out next Sunday, October 26th, is from 2 to 4 p.m., and that's at the Uhuru Solidarity Center, which is at 3733 Lancaster Avenue in West Philly. And I really urge everybody to come out and participate in that. And if anybody that is listening right now would like to add a comment or a question, you can do so by emailing us at dj@uhururadio.com, dj@uhururadio.com, and we'd like to include you in this discussion. I'd like to say, in terms of reparations, that is a crucial question, and I agree the African community must have reparations, and we are taking out that demand into the white community and organizing other white people to support that. Like you say, there is no economic development for African people in Philadelphia or any other community in this country. And you see things like the city just paid out $25 million just to shut people up for police brutality cases. I think there was almost 500 police brutality cases that the city paid people off. But you can tell that, and PDOM and the people on this show today, comrades Rashida and comrade Nanny and the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, are organizing fiercely in this city. I'd like to ask you, Rashida and comrade Nanny, how you got involved in NPDOM and why you joined the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement.
Well, the reason why I joined, because I watched TV One and I seen Harry Belafonte say that Martin Luther King Jr. seen what was going on. He said for people to join a movement. I came across this movement, and I'm proudly say I'm glad I came across it because it helped me and my family tremendously.
Thank you.
Not only that, I'm out here to help other families, the ones that sons and daughters was killed by the police officer. And every second of the day, I'm seeing more and more police stopping people with guns and beating them up when they're on the ground. And I'm glad I joined this movement. Mm-hmm. I'm there to help the people, all people. I don't care what color the skin, I'm there to help all.
Thank you, Uhuru. That's a powerful statement. And I know that the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement is an incredible organization organizing all over the world for the rights of the African community. And I just want to let the white listeners and people in our, listening to this show today and starting to understand the reality of what is going on in the African community, who want to take the right stand on this, can join the Uhuru Solidarity Movement And that is an organization that works under the leadership of the Uhuru movement, the Black-led Uhuru movement, for other white people who are outraged by this reality, to see the attacks every day on the Black community and to understand that this is being carried out so that in the white community we can go about our lives, go to send our children to college, expect the great life that America has promised us. But to say that we can't accept that. There can really be no peace in this city, that's for sure, without African people getting justice and without the demand from the white community for the city to stop these attacks, to stop police containment, stop police killings of African people. And that there must be reparations for the African community when African people are murdered like this. There must be economic development.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
And they'll have to do something with the police officers on the police force, because you got a special police group that's just out there to aim and kill. And after all Lynn Abraham do, every murder case, they presume they had a gun. They got a special task just to kill certain people. And it is a group of these white guys that's killing. Oh, they had a gun, shoot them.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have to get them, because no one's going to trust the police officer no more. This is why my job is go to corner, crack to crack, and let them know, take your corner community back.
That's it.
Right.
That's it.
That's right.
Every time they're 2 hours to walk at anybody block, I tell everybody, go in the house, don't have nothing to say to them, don't be ratting on nobody, close your door, and take over your block, take over your community. We as a people, we're not ratting on no sons and daughters. We're going to take back what belongs to us.
Yes.
So none of you mind will face it. You're just wasting money.
That's right. And when we talk about reparations, we're not just talking about the police killings. There's a numerous, there's numerous attacks that are being made against our people. But really, we're talking about returning the right for African people to be self-governing, self-determined people, to control everything in our communities. That's what real reparations need to look like. We control our own resources. We control our own schools. We control our own police. We are self-governing, self-determined people. That's the ultimate demand that we're involved in. And right now, we see these all types of attacks, and we didn't even talk about really about how Governor Rendell just put a freeze on the paroles of Africans that's in the prisons in Pennsylvania, and not even allowing Africans who are supposed to be coming home to do so. Under
the ones in the halfway house.
Under the name of, protecting the people. Who is he protecting? If anything, he's protecting white power from the organizers that's in the prisons right now. They need to be out here in the streets organizing for black power and for self-determination for our people. And they know that. That's why they make up the law as they go along. Yesterday, I was coming home. Now today, because there's more resistance in the streets, they're going to put a freeze on our parole because they're scared that I'm going to join that resistance. That's all that we're looking at. We need to expose that. And if anything, Rendell need to be behind them prisons.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes, and also I heard that Rendell's imposing a 20-year minimum sentence on anybody who has a firearm in any kind of situation involving a police officer. I mean, you don't even have to shoot at a cop or anything just to be on the scene or whatever.
They just want to lock them up for life.
That's right.
Age them like dogs.
Yes, and that we also have to understand that the Uhuru movement shows us is a huge economy for the white community. The prison economy, I mean, when we say that in Philly they have more African people locked up than anywhere in the U.S., that is the economy for Pennsylvania, yes, and in the world, because the U.S. has the highest imprisonment rate in the world. So that means all this city is doing is locking up Africans and, throwing away the key and has complete impunity to do that. And we have to take a stand against that from the white community, because that is done so that we can live in so-called peace behind our security bars and have the cafe lifestyle and have the wealth that we assume the right to have. And we do not have that right. African people must control their own resources and their own communities. So this is a powerful and really important struggle that's going on right here in Philly.
Can I say, Ali, real quick, because I'm glad we talked about how it's the highest rate in the world. And partly because we are an international movement. And in fact, NP Dom, we just came out of our international convention, September 27th and 28th, where we actually introduced and are pushing forward a revolutionary national democratic program that Africans around the country can take on as our own program. And it involves an end to the prisons, an end to the death penalty, to the gentrification of our communities, reparations for the victims of Katrina. I mean, there's a long, a wide array of issues that our program deals with. And we have responsibility as NPDOM to take this program out into the community. That's part of what we're doing through the tribunal. But I think it's important to say that we're not just a Philadelphia-based movement. We're not just dealing with Pennsylvania. But this is part of a worldwide struggle among African workers and poor people to take power in our own hands. And next time they try to lay a hand on the next Donnell, we have Africans fighting back all the way in Los Angeles and in Sierra Leone. And that's how we're going to win. And that's something that everybody should support. And the theft of our identity, this artificial imposed identities, we African-Americans, Haitians, Jamaicans, all of that is part of the war against our people. So part of our struggle is to unite our people once again, because united, as they say, we strong.
Uhuru, yes. And I want to also let everybody know and invite people to come out and hear Diop Olugbala speaking. We have two events this week in Philadelphia that people can come and participate in and hear more of this analysis and more of what the organizing work of the Uhuru movement is all over the world. We have an event this Thursday, a forum called U.S. in Crisis, Understanding the Meltdown of the U.S. Economy and the Way Forward. And it's indicting who the real criminals are, because we understand it's the same criminals who are shooting down African people in Philly, who have stolen billions of dollars through the subprime mortgage scandal, you know, attacked African people, not allowing them to have the houses, who speculate also on, you know, the food economy in the world that's creating all the hunger all over the world. And these are the real criminals, so we're indicting them. And there's going to be a forum this Thursday, October 23rd at 7:30 p.m., and that's at the First Unitarian Church at 2125 Chestnut Street. Our keynote presenter is Diop Olugbala, who you're hearing now, is organizing the Philly front of the African Revolution, and with an analysis from the Revolutionary African Working Class Movement, and also with Comrade Penny Hess, who is the chairwoman of the Solidarity Movement. And she has a powerful presentation that she makes called The Collapse of the Parasitic U.S. Economy, and really gives us an understanding of why the U.S. is in such crisis right now, and that we do not have to go down with the U.S. imperialism. We can unite with African people struggling for their rights and their resources and for their liberation. And we also, I just want to repeat, have a really important event next Sunday, and I'm so glad that we could hear today from Comrade Nanny and from Rashida and the NPDOM Organizing Committee here in Philly, just what incredible resistance is going on in the African community here in Philly. And from the white community, we have the opportunity to participate in this and take the right stand and come out and show our support for African people organizing for their rights with a community speak out. And that's next Sunday, October the 26th, from 2 to 4 p.m. And that's at the Uhuru Solidarity Center at 3733 Lancaster Avenue in West Philly. And people can reach us at 215-387-0919 and find out more information about how you can get involved in taking a stand for reparations and justice for the African community. So I really want to thank our guests very, very much for your powerful interview, and I'd like to give you a chance to say anything that you would like in wrapping up this interview and this discussion today. You know, please go ahead and make a final comment.
I'd like to say thank you from our Daniel Getten family. I'd like to say thank you for just being on the talk show, on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's made me feel good to get everything that was balled up in me out and get the truth out.
Yes.
Yes, we greatly appreciate y'all allowing us to come on and talk about Daniel and, you know, to get our voices out there to what truly, really happened, because all we've been hearing is what the police say, and now we got a chance to, you know, say what truly happened, because what they're saying is not what truly happened, and he wasn't what they say he was. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a monster. He was a loving person. So yes. We do appreciate y'all giving us the opportunity to come on here and say what we needed to say.
Uhura, we really appreciate all of you being on today, and it's so important to hear the truth. And like I say, we do not hear the truth about what's going on, what African people experience every single day in this city and in this country, unless we hear it from African people themselves. So we really appreciate Rashida and Comrade Nani and Diabolik Bala for being on our show today. And I really urge, again, everybody to get involved in this dynamic and truly powerful movement for liberation and justice for African people. Thank you so much, and we will be talking again soon. Uhuru.
Uhuru. Yeah.
I want to thank Uhuru News for the Solidarity Not Charity show, and that concludes our program for today. And this also ends today's Uhuru Radio broadcast. So we want to urge everybody to tune in next Sunday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another powerful day of Uhuru Radio programs. Uhuru.